welcome to Hot Girls Code, a podcast all about the tech industry, software development, and being a woman in tech. I'm your host, Aughty.
And I'm your host, Lola. Welcome to the final episode of Hot Girls Code Season 2. That's right, this is actually our last episode for 2023.
That is actually crazy. I swear it was only a few months ago that we were wishing everyone a happy new year, and now we're already at the end of the year. That's crazy.
And the fact that we're finishing Season 2 of Hot Girls Code is pretty crazy. So very exciting stuff. And obviously, with the end of the year, that's when people start looking back on the year that's just been, and they also start looking ahead at the year that's coming. And usually, people start to think about setting goals for the new year.
Yes, you got to start getting those New Year's resolutions ready. And this got us thinking about when we started in our tech careers and we were trying to set goals, and just like, it was kind of hard, not going to lie.
And honestly, sometimes it can still be quite hard. Like, it's hard to know what goals to set, especially if it's around things like technical growth. So we thought, what better way to end the year than to do a whole episode all about goal setting? But first, as always, let's start with some gratitude. So Aughty, what are you feeling grateful for this week?
I am feeling really grateful because just recently, we got to speak at our first ever conference. We've done a panel before, but we got to do our first ever talk. So we spoke at the Women in Tech Conference in Wellington, which is run by Victoria University's Women in Tech Group. And it was just the most wholesome experience. We got to talk all about like why we're so passionate about what we do and why it's so important to have women in tech and the history of it all. We got to meet some really lovely human beings, and we also had a wonderful time bonding with the other speakers. And yeah, it was just really wholesome.
It was very wholesome. I feel like that's like a good word to sum it up. And like, it was just so nice meeting all of these people that have come together like as a community for this shared cause of women in tech. So yeah, definitely a really cool experience for us.
And Lola, what are you grateful for this week?
Well, this week I'm feeling exceptionally grateful that we have found a rogue wild guinea pig on our property.
A rogue wild guinea pig? I feel like some more context is needed.
Okay, so I don't think that guinea pigs like really live in the wild, at least not to my knowledge, but we have seen the same adorable little guinea pig just like poking its head around our property and doing all the things that guinea pigs do, like just like nomming on some grass, and then as soon as you try and get close to it, it runs away. But basically, this guinea pig has been coming we've probably seen him like several times in the past couple months. And the first time I saw it, we tried to capture it because I was like, oh my God, this thing is not going to survive in the wild. But clearly it's surviving pretty fine because we've seen it for months now. But yeah, I'm feeling very grateful because whenever I see this cute little guinea pig's face, it just makes me very happy. One of my goals for the future is to actually catch this guinea pig one day and then have it as my pet because it's just adorable.
I love that. And I feel like that leads us to a very seamless transition. So now that we're feeling grateful and we've learned a bit about what Lola's goals for next year are going to be, let's kick into today's episode. So as we said before, we will be chatting all about goal setting. So we'll start off chatting through 4 goal setting frameworks, and then we'll talk about goal setting and professional development, sharing some of our tips for creating a personal development plan and writing out some technical development goals. And then finally, we'll finish off by sharing 3 tips on how to keep your momentum going after you've set your goals, because we know that that can be really tricky sometimes. So let's get into it.
To begin with, we're going to talk you through 4 goal setting frameworks. And these frameworks are SMART, the 525 strategy, the 90-day year, and the backwards goal framework. So let's jump in and talk about the SMART framework. Now, you might have already heard of this one, as I think it's super popular, but you know, it's widely known for a reason, and that's because it works. Now, SMART, just like SOLID and the SOLID principles that we covered a couple episodes back, SMART is an acronym and it stands for specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. So basically, we want to make sure that our goals are SMART.
And in order to make sure we have SMART goals, let's dive into what each of these letters means and how you can set goals using the SMART framework. So first we've got the S, and that stands for specific. The SMART framework says that we need to be clear and specific about what goals we want to achieve. So instead of saying something super broad and vague like, I want to get fit, or I want to get better at coding, you would instead say something like, I want to go to a gym class 4 times a week, or I want to complete this online course on C#.
So that's what we mean when we're talking about specific goals. And the next letter is M, and that stands for measurable. So we want to make sure that our goals are measurable so that we're actually able to track our progress. For example, if your goal is to read more, then a measurable goal might be something like, I want to read 1 book per month this entire year.
Now, I do want to diverge from the episode just for a brief moment. So one of my goals for 2023 was to actually read a book per month. And I just wanted to brag because I didn't just read a book per month. I read 24 books this year. And so clearly I am the best at goal setting, and I'm super smart, and I'm amazing.
So that's why you're here, to give us this episode. But honestly, I feel like that is very impressive, like 24 books in a year. I am terrible with reading. Like, I enjoy reading, but I'll start reading a book, I'll get about halfway through, and then I'll pick up another book and I'll start reading another book, and then I'll totally forget about the book that I was reading, unless it's like super, super interesting. But a lot of the time I do read nonfiction, and it just, you know, it just doesn't quite reel you in like a good novel.
Oh yeah, like if you looked at the breakdown of the books I read this year, I'm pretty sure like 15 of them are like cheesy romance novels, 4 of them are nonfictions, and like a couple of them are like normal hard-hitting fiction novels. Like, I always have to have multiple books on the go because I have that issue where I'm just sometimes not in the mood for nonfiction. So if the only thing I'm reading is a nonfiction book, I just don't want to do it. So I always have like my rotation cycle, but it means that I can't pick up like another nonfiction book until I finish this one. And I usually am like, find another nonfiction book that I really want to read. It helps motivate me to read the one I should have read before.
See, that's a great boundary that you're setting, and that's something I need to work on next year. So maybe that can be my goal.
That sounds like a fantastic goal. So going back into the episode and moving on from my fantastic reading goal achievement, next up we have the letter A, which stands for achievable. So we want our goals to actually be achievable, right? Like, it's all well and good to dream big, but when you're creating goals for yourself, your goals should be realistic, because otherwise you might just feel really disheartened that you aren't making any progress towards your goal when actually the goal just wasn't realistic to begin with.
Let's have a look at an example. Let's say that you're just learning how to code and you set a goal to run a Silicon Valley tech company in the next month, which is like worth billions of dollars. Now that might be just a tiny bit ambitious.
Just a tiny bit.
Just a tiny bit. Don't get us wrong. We love ambition here at Hot Girls Code, and we absolutely support all of our listeners with their Delulu dreams. But when you're setting goals, I think it is really important to be realistic with what you believe you can achieve and make sure that those goals you're setting are achievable.
Yeah, so like in that circumstance, maybe you'd start with just like doing an online tutorial instead and have that as step one, rather than, you know, the first goal straight out the bat being founding a very successful company. Just some advice. So now that we have got the S, M, and A, we are on to our second to last letter, which is R, and that stands for relevant. So this one may seem pretty obvious, but basically your goal should be important and meaningful to you. It needs to be relevant. And when you reach this letter in the acronym, when you're reflecting on your goals, this is when you start to think about the big picture and why you're setting the goal that you're actually setting.
Because if you're not actually interested in the thing that you're setting a goal around, there's a really high chance that you're just going to completely lose motivation.
Definitely. Like, if you absolutely despise running like I do, but you set a goal to run a marathon next month, well, firstly, that isn't sounding very achievable or realistic, but it also isn't very relevant unless you have an important why that's anchoring you.
Absolutely. I think it's so important to have that reason why to actually drive you towards that goal. And finally, we have the letter T, and this one stands for time bound. So basically, we want to set deadlines for our goals. because this creates a sense of urgency and it helps you stay focused. Because if you don't have a deadline, it can be super easy to just procrastinate your goals and, you know, keep telling yourself, oh, I'll work on that tomorrow or I'll do it later. For example, instead of saying I want to learn TypeScript, which is just a very open-ended goal with no deadline or anything, you could say I want to learn the basics of TypeScript in 3 months by doing an online course for an hour each day. And notice how that meets all of the requirements of a SMART goal.
So now that we have written our wonderful SMART goal and we understand the SMART framework, let's move on to the next framework that we want to talk about today, and that is called the 5-25 goal setting strategy. And it's actually a rule created by a very rich investor named Warren Buffett. If you don't know him, definitely look him up. But basically, what you want to do is you want to list 25 goals or things you want to accomplish, and these can be anything that you would love to do or achieve.
Now comes the tricky part. So next you want to take a look at your list and narrow it down to the top 5 most important goals. These are the 5 goals which are the highest priority and are the most important to you. Next up, we're just going to completely ignore all the other 20 goals you wrote down that weren't in that top 5. Now this might sound a bit crazy, but the logic is simple. You only have so much time in a day, and if you're spreading yourself across 25 different things that you want to accomplish, there's quite a high likelihood that you'll end up in a situation where you just don't achieve any of them.
This rule is based on the idea that having too many goals can be super distracting and might actually dilute your focus. But if you prioritize the top 5 things you want to do, you can channel all your energy into just a few tasks and put all your attention towards achieving what you've decided are the most important goals for you.
I feel like this framework is specifically super important to us indecisive girlies because it can be so tricky to figure out what's most important to focus on. And it's so tempting to just say, okay, I'm just going to do it all. But I love that this framework is like, hey, let's get all of your goals out there on the page, but then know what to walk away from for now and just focus on the top 5 highest priority goals.
Yes, definitely. It can be tricky to prioritize. And the great thing about this framework is once you complete those top 5 goals, then you can move on to the next top 5. So it's not like you're completely abandoning your hopes and dreams, you know? So that is the 5-25 goal framework. And next up, we want to talk about a framework that I've seen on TikTok before, actually, and that is the 90-day year. So this framework is all about breaking down the year into 90-day chunks so you can focus on one goal at a time.
The idea behind the 90-day year framework is that by focusing on just one goal at a time, you can achieve a lot more because you can give it your full focus and make consistent progress on that single goal, rather than, you know, trying to spread yourself across lots of things all at once and then feeling overwhelmed and stressed.
It's kind of similar to the 25-5 framework in that way. It really emphasizes focusing on your high priorities over trying to achieve, you know, a lot of different things.
Totally. And I feel like that's like a very important thing to reiterate when you're setting goals is like, if you overcommit to all of these things, then you will probably get overwhelmed and not be able to do them all. So let's not set ourselves up for failure. And let's talk about how we actually use the 90-day year framework. Basically, what we do is we break down the year into 90-day chunks and you set one goal for each 90-day period. You then break your goal down into smaller, actionable steps that you'll do within the 90 days you're focusing on it.
And then you just focus on your first goal and its steps for the first 90 days of the year. And then once you've achieved that goal in 90 days, you move on to the next one. So let's go through an example. Let's say next year you want to build your first ever web app from scratch. That can seem pretty intimidating and there can be a lot to do. But don't worry, you can use the 90-day framework to break it down into reasonable chunks.
So let's say you might spend the first 90-day period focusing on your foundations and just learning the basics of things like HTML and CSS. Then the following 90 days, you can then focus on learning JavaScript and maybe a front-end framework like React or Angular. After that, you can spend the next 90-day period actually using the knowledge that you've learned to build a simple web app. And then the final 90 days can be spent fully productionizing it, learning all the things about how to host your website, set up deploy pipelines, and actually get it deployed out into the world.
Breaking it down into these more manageable 90-day chunks means you can really focus on one thing at a time and get that depth of knowledge, rather than trying to do, you know, a CSS course, a JavaScript course, an Angular course, and learn about deploy pipelines and everything else in one go, and then just feeling like it's too hard, it's too much, your brain hurts, and then giving up.
Absolutely. So that is the 90-day year framework, which brings us onto the final framework we wanted to chat about today, and that is the backward goal framework. The idea with this one is that you start with your ultimate objective, you know, your end goal, and then you work backwards from there to develop your plan of action.
So you'd start by being like, this is what I want to achieve and this is when I want to do it by. And then you think about what steps you can take to reach that goal. What do you have to do and by when, so that you're in a position to reach your final objective? And then you just keep working backwards, figuring out what step you need to take beforehand to reach each of these incremental goals.
And that continues on. So you keep going backwards until you finally identify the very first goal that you need to accomplish in order to reach this final objective by the end of the year, or whenever your deadline is. The backward goal framework can be great when you have this big goal that you really want to achieve, but you're not totally sure how to get there. Using this framework, you step back through all of the previous steps to figure out the incremental goals that you want to have in order to reach that big goal.
It's like you're demystifying your own ambitious goals. So rather than thinking of a big goal and being like, yeah, that's too hard for me to do, that's way too big, it's looking at it differently and being like, okay, where would I need to be ready to achieve that goal? And then working backwards until you've got yourself a nice step-by-step plan.
Totally. So let's look at this through an example. Let's say that your end goal is to publish a set of multiple books, like a series of books. That's a pretty huge goal. So let's take one step back, and maybe that's publishing one book. And then if we take a step back from that, maybe it's just publishing a short story. And if we take a step back from that, maybe it's having an article published in a magazine. And if we go even one step further, maybe it's just writing a really nice poem for your friend for them to read. So basically, you keep working backwards until you get to your first step.
So now that we know about a few different goal setting frameworks, let's dig deeper into how we can set goals for work and our career growth specifically. So one of the ways we both do this in our day-to-day lives is by creating a PDP, or a personal development plan. So this is a plan you make alongside your manager at work, where you work out your strengths and your weaknesses, and you set specific goals to help you progress your career. And these can be goals around your soft skills like communication, or your technical skills like learning a specific coding language.
If you're unsure about where to start with creating your PDP, then we have some quick tips to get you started. A great place to begin is by getting feedback from the people around you. You could reach out to people yourself and be like, hey, I'm working on my development plan. Do you have any feedback for me or things that you think that I should work on? Or if that is a little bit scary and you don't feel comfortable, because sometimes it is like that, you could ask your manager to gather that feedback for you and maybe get them to talk to your coworkers or your teammates and get that feedback and bring it back to you.
Another way to figure out a good starting point for your PDP is to look at the progression pathway for your role. Like if you're a junior, ask your manager for the role expectations for an intermediate and then rate yourself on all the different parts of that scale. Then you can create your PDP around improving the parts you're lacking in. Or if you have a specific role in mind that you want to move into, take a look at the expectations for that role and make sure you have goals in your PDP for improving whatever skills are relevant.
And the final way we wanted to mention is asking people about their PDPs. Feel free to reach out to other people in similar roles to you, or even better, people who used to be in your role who then got promoted. So you could ask them how they created their PDPs and what kind of things they focused on.
But do remember that everyone is very unique and you want to make sure that you're creating the PDP that's right for you and not just copying someone else's.
Definitely, you want to make it customized. So those are some quick tips to get you started on your PDP, and they apply to basically any role. But if you're keen on a technical role like software developer, you might want to make a PDP that is focused on your technical skills, and that can sometimes be easier said than done.
So this is something that both of us found really tricky when we first started out in the tech industry, because it's like, oh my God, how do I make a goal around my technical growth? I think it can be really hard when you're first in the industry and there is just so much to learn and it's all so exciting and overwhelming and you're just not quite sure where to start.
If you are listening to this and you're like, yes, this is so relatable, well, there are a few different areas of focus that we can have for our technical goals. And we just wanted to share those with you, you know, to help you get started. So just three of these that we think are a great starting point are goals around experimenting with new technology, deepening your skills and expertise for a specific technology, or learning about general design principles. So from these general three areas, we can apply those frameworks that we spoke about earlier to develop a plan to actually create specific goals and steps to achieve them.
And if you're looking for some inspo for steps to achieve technical goals, some examples are things like following a tutorial to build something, doing an online course, doing a project on your own, reading a book on a specific topic, or getting certified in a specific technology.
Honestly, I wish I had someone tell me just those few things when I first started out, because it can be a bit overwhelming and you're just like, okay, I want to be technically better, but how do I do that?
Yeah, I feel like PDPs and goal setting at work specifically can be really intimidating, especially when you come from the world of studying where all of your goals are set for you and the path is super obvious. So we hope that these little pieces of advice have helped all of you listening to feel a little bit less overwhelmed.
Definitely. We hope it has made a difference. And moving on to our final section for today, we know that sometimes the hardest part of goal setting isn't actually writing the goals, it's sticking to them. Because you know how it goes. Life is hectic and things happen and priorities change and it can be tricky to stick to your goals. So we wanted to share three tips to help you keep your momentum going and make sure you achieve your goals.
So our first tip is to have goal check-ins to actually hold yourself accountable. Literally put these in your calendar. They can be weekly check-ins or monthly check-ins or just whatever cadence works for you. Basically, you want to check in and see, am I where I wanted to be? What's working? What isn't working? You should also ask yourself, is this goal still relevant? And if it's not, don't be afraid to change it or completely get rid of it.
I've actually done this before with New Year's resolutions. You know, a lot happens over a year and your priorities and your circumstances change. And there have been plenty of goals that I've changed or just dropped entirely to make way for things that are much more important to me.
Yes, I love that. I try to have monthly check-ins on my goals, and I feel like this is also just a great reminder of what my goals actually are, because it's so easy to just get caught up in the flow of life and sort of lose that direction a little bit. But having these regular check-ins reminds you what your goals are, resets your focus, and enables you to have that reflection on, oh, have my priorities changed? Do my goals still reflect what I want to achieve?
Our second tip to help you keep momentum is to tell a friend about your goal. So this tip is actually backed by research. The American Society of Training and Development found that people are 65% more likely to meet a goal after sharing their goal with someone else.
Another fun fact that the study found was that the chances of successfully achieving a goal increased by 95% when you set a deadline for the goal and actually start to regularly share your progress with someone. So tell your friends about your goals. It can also be really cool if a friend tells you their goals and both of you can work together to hold each other accountable.
this tip is actually one that I use with one of my New Year's resolutions for this year. So I don't know if many of you will remember or have been listening to us for long enough, but one of my New Year's resolutions for 2023 was actually to practice showing more gratitude this year. And that is what started our gratitude segment on the podcast. And I definitely think that has helped me keep it going because in all honesty, I've had some difficult personal things going on this year, and there were times where, honestly, I just didn't want to be grateful for anything, and I didn't want to show any gratitude, and I just wanted to be miserable and sad. But I knew that this was something we had to do for every episode, and it helped me keep going with it and to just remember that there is so much to be grateful for.
I'm so glad that I could hold you accountable for that gratitude goal, Autie.
You and all our wonderful Hot Girls Code listeners, every time someone tells us they like the gratitude segment, I'm like, okay, we definitely got to keep it going.
It makes me very happy when people like our gratitude. I'm like, ah, yay. And I totally agree. Like, it is very easy when things are going south and you're not feeling great. It is really hard to be grateful. So I love that we've made this like part of our routine. You know, as soon as something's part of your routine, you kind of start to get used to it, and then it just becomes a way of life. So on that wholesome note, let's move on to our final tip, which is to celebrate the milestones along the way. When you've got a big goal that you're working towards, it can be really easy to just get caught up in that goal and focus only on achieving that. But it can really help your motivation if you celebrate the little wins and the milestones along the way, and just take that time to acknowledge the work that you've put in and the progress that you're making.
It helps to remind you that you are making progress, and it hits those reward centers in your brain, which help you to stay motivated, and that makes you want to keep going since you know you're on the right path.
Sometimes I have a tendency to make some DeLulu goals. You know, you got to dream big. So I really do think that celebrating those milestones along the way is so important. It also really helps with motivation because you're like, okay, cool, I am making progress. I can do this. And even if you don't meet your goals, you can still celebrate the progress that you've made towards achieving them.
Definitely. And that brings us to the end of today's episode. So today we spoke all about setting goals. We covered four popular goal setting frameworks. We discussed some hot tips on creating personal development plans for work. And then finally, we finished up with three tips on how to keep your momentum going once you've set those goals. As we said at the beginning of the episode, this is our last episode of the year, but don't worry, we will be back in February 2024 for season 3.
Until then, if you enjoyed this episode or any other episodes this season, we would love if you could share it with your friends or on social media to help us spread the word and get Hot Girls Code out to more wonderful women. We'd also love if you could leave a rating and subscribe to Hot Girls Code wherever you get your podcasts.
If you need some more Hot Girls Code in your life, because who doesn't? You can also follow us on TikTok and Instagram under @hot_girls_code to keep up to date with the podcast and learn more about the tech industry, software development, and being a woman in tech.
In case you didn't know, our Instagram has lots of content to support the topics that we talk about in our episodes, as well as some wholesome affirmations and some amazing memes. So definitely check it out.
And for the last time of 2023, thanks for listening.